Well, that's definitely a great song to follow to come up here. See, who thinks himself is someone ought to disregard themselves as no one. See, I was that thief on the cross. I'm no one that I should stand here. I'm the lesser of anybody that could ever stand here today and speak before you. But what I am is I'm real, and I love the Lord. And today I'm thankful and grateful to be part of this series on family. You know, when Joe asked if I'd like to be part of this, he sent me a text message and said, I haven't decided. The Holy Spirit hasn't given me what the topic is going to be today. To you, my square up, dude. But what he sent me was a text that said it's either going to be family or it's going to be God is. And my heart just started pounding. I'd done 9-10 weeks in pastor's class on God is. I got all these notes on God is. So I was ready to go with God is. But then I got to thinking, I'm also ready to go with family. See, Jason made a comment last week that I'd been preparing this for several years now. It's not an exaggeration. I started living out this message going on 3 years ago. I didn't start sitting around dreaming one day of speaking this message and giving this before a group of people. But I started living this message that I'm going to give today. See, Joe started out and he opened up about how God designed family and how the enemy attacked the family. And then he talked about work and how, secondly, the enemy attacked our work. Jason talked last week about the benefits of being in God's family. I got to thinking, what and who is benefiting from me being part of these families? Today we're going to look at three areas of my life, and hopefully you'll look at them areas of your life. I'm going to look at my family that I'm in the home with. I'm going to look at my work family, and I'm going to look at my church family. I'm going to look at and I'm going to ask myself, who benefits from me in these three types of deals? See, I know we're called to minister. I love ministry work. You know, we always jump up and say we're called to the ends of the earth to witness to this person, and I'm called to minister to this person, and Jesus left the 99 to go after this person. I tell you, God is a God of order. God's not going to ask you to go out and do something that you're not doing 1, 2, 3 in these three families. Okay, first and foremost, I love that he says he leaves the 99. See, I know I got these out of order a little bit, but I'm going to have him put this verse up. I love this New American Standard Bible version of this verse right here. He says he leaves the 99 to go look for the one. But he does what with the 99? He leaves them on the mountains. See, God's never called me to leave my family in a valley or in a bad place for me to run off and minister to anybody. In order for me to be a minister, I have to first and foremost be a minister at home. What y'all see right here is not a big show that I put on. What y'all see right here is a result of the way I live my life in my home, at my job, and amongst my family of believers that I hang out with, and that I associate with, and that we minister to each other. See, the book of Acts tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, I will receive power. And I love the order that God wrote these next few words. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It sounds so just vague that he would put them names of them cities in there. But if you'll look up, if you'll look at the maps and you'll see that, Jerusalem was their home. They started in Jerusalem, then they went into the eastern area of Judea. And then they moved out to Samaria. See, God's always, always, always about order and priorities. God, our God, is a God of priority. And thank God he is, because you're his priority. Your home is his priority. So when I look at my life and my call to ministry, it gets very tiring. And it's easy to grow weary. Hey, I'm telling you, 3 years ago when Angela and I had our first year of marriage under our belt, and we had found out some things about each other and about ourselves, and life was starting to get hard. And I was involved in all this stuff, and I was coming out of John 3 in the transition house where I did something every night, every day. Somewhere I would speak, somewhere I would give my testimony. I remember one of the biggest fights we had is that I was gone and I was not pouring into that family. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? You want me to put you before God? And God set me straight right there. He says, no, I want you to prioritize your life and your families in the order I'm calling you to do them. See, I had to find out that Galatians tells us, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due time you'll receive what? A harvest of righteousness. One of my favorite verses is the next one that follows that. Therefore. I love that word, therefore. When you see that in Scripture, that word is a word of continuation. Because of, for this reason. For this reason, in order to not grow weary in doing good, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to the household of faith. God started showing me that if I wanted to be a true minister, a true witness of His word, that I had to start in my home to my family. First and foremost, my family had to get the best of what I had to offer them. They wasn't to get the leftovers from late night ministries, several days of traveling, because I just never stand up here and act like I have not failed in one or all three of these areas tonight. Hey, my wife has loved me preparing this message because I haven't failed this week, because there wasn't no way I was going to get on stage and talk about how important it is to minister to family when I don't get up at 6:30 in the morning, lay in bed watching Charlie Brown and sipping coffee with my family this morning. You know what I'm saying? That's how I started my day, because I know that. I know that right there, that family, the family that God designed in my home, is first and foremost my number one responsibility of who I witness to and how they see me. I heard something when I first started coming around this church that Pastor David had said, and I have it in about all my journals, and it's a priority in my life. Who you are in public is who you're going to become, or who you are in private is who you're going to become in public. See, in order for me to get up here and to be who I am, not a guy standing before you speaking, I haven't arrived at a certain moment in my life. I've only arrived at a spiritual moment in my life of who I am. And that is because of that situation right there. Hey, ministry gets tiring. And I know this. I don't want to be nicer to somebody who runs a cart up over my foot at Walmart than I am to a son who spills a glass of milk off a bar. I don't want to sit there in Walmart and be like, oh, hey, it's no big deal. God loves you. Can I tell you about the goodness of God? And then here I am at home. See, short-tempered, lacking understanding, not able to comfort, not able to whatever it may be. It seems like sometimes that family at home gets overlooked as we run out to do the ministry that God's called us to do. I don't believe that God has no more intention that that happened in our life than a man in the moon. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 tells us, that look, whether wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, that we should be teaching God's ways to our children. Now, I believe this, and I know that God backs this. Not before my wife, though, okay? Because Ephesians 5:25 tells me to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, doing what? Washing her and sanctifying her in the word. See, I have to learn to prioritize my family in my home. Women, you're not going to get out of this today. I'm not going to stand up here and just bash the guys like I normally would if you're in some of my other classes and everything, because I am a male figure and I feel called to encourage, edify men, as Eric and I was talking about earlier, because I am a male. But hey, Proverbs 31:10-12 tells us what a godly woman is. It says she's rare to find in rubies. But I love, in the first four verses, it talks about her husband who trusts her, sees no fault in her. And then she runs off, and it talks about how she gathers and how she works and how she ministers to the people and how she does this and how she does that. But you notice when she leaves the house, her husband has full trust in her. He has left him lacking nothing, it says. She has ministered first and foremost to her husband. And then she goes off to do her task and her ministry and her calling. See, God's all about it. He's saying, if you don't want to grow weary in doing good, it's got to become a lifestyle. It can't be something I go and clock in to do at 7 o'clock on a Friday night or Sunday morning at 9:45 or Thursday. I can't just clock in here before I come to Bible study. He's saying you're going to grow weary of doing that. But if you'll start in your home and it starts becoming the way you live your life and you conduct your life, then you're going to be nicer and sweeter to the guy that rear ends you at the red light or runs over your foot in the car. Because if you're not going to do it here, number one, you're not eventually going to do it there. You're going to get tired of it. Jason talks all the time about the mask that we put on. Hey, if you're just putting on your smiley face ministry mask, sooner or later you're going to forget to put it on. Or hey, you're going to put the wrong one on, because sometimes we have more than one mask that we carry. So, hey, we want to look, and we want to start in our home. I don't ever want to stand before my wife and my child and say something that I look over there and they'd be like, I don't never want to see my son here on Sunday morning, me treating a kid one way, and he's like, who's that dude? You know what I'm saying? It's okay, but yet at home when I drop my donut holes or when I spilt my milk, it's okay that Michael or Gabriel comes over and they do something that I'm not supposed to do. See, that's not ministry. That's hypocritical. That's being a hypocrite. And I don't want my family to ever see me like that. Do they always? Hey, I'm going to tell you. Y'all know me. They don't always see the guy that they want to see. All right? But more and more often, they're starting to see that guy on a frequent basis because of the application of this message that I put into my life. I had to prioritize my life a little over 2.5 years ago and let go of some things. It was kind of awkward for Angela and I. We had to stop doing some things, some large group settings, and a lot of meetings, and a lot of this, and a lot of this and that. But God told me one day I will stand before his people, and I will give a message that will encourage them how to become better ministers. And in order to do that, I was going to have to start doing some changing in my life. And this is the first change I had to make. I had to make my house, my wife, my child, a number one priority in my ministry. After that, then he says, then we're going to move on to your work. So Angela and I figured up yesterday the hours that we spend with people at work and the hours that we spend with people at home. And it's sad sometimes, but that's part of reality, okay? God tells us that we're going to be in the world, not of it, but he says that we'll go into the markets and to the villages and we'll take jobs for ourselves and we'll do this and we'll do that. So we have to work to provide for the needs and to share, number one, and most importantly, to share the talents and gifts that God's called us to do. That's what work is. Work is ministry. I would love to just think my job was just go to work, get a paycheck, and come home. Hey, I mean, I wouldn't really care how I acted or what my attitude was like or how I talked or even how I treated the company I worked for. But see, it's not. It's a family. See, God has put me in a place where I'm part of a family, and I'm valuable to them, and they're valuable to me. And I have a role to play in that. And see, when I know what role I'm playing, then I can be effective. If I just think I'm there as a worker, then I'm not going to be effective as a witness and a minister of Jesus Christ and the life that he's given me. Hey, but if I go in there knowing this, that it's ministry and he's called me to minister there after I've ministered to my family, then I'll start looking at little things a little bit different at the way I work. So I'm blessed. I work for a godly company and godly men. But I'm going to tell you, it's not perfect. We're men. We're human beings. So look, it's easy for people to tell me, well, you don't understand where I work. You don't understand the people I work with. You don't understand how they talk. You don't understand how they... I'll tell you something. You're not called to judge the people you work with. You're not called to judge the world. You don't have that authority. If you'll look at 1 Corinthians 5, 9, 10... I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. Since then, you would have no need to go out into the world. Hey, you're not called to your job to judge the people you work with. You're called to your job to minister to a family that you're part of. And when we look at that and we apply that to our life, things change a little bit. I'm sorry if you work on a line with this guy that does that. Hey, I'm sorry. I really am, because there are things I don't have to deal with. I don't deal with language and a whole lot of worldly stuff, maybe attitudes and tempers. You know what I'm saying? I deal with, you heard that one back here, right? Because they deal with mine too. I'm no different than anybody else. But see, we're a family. And the way I treat them is going to affect the way I treat the world that I'm called to minister to. Because if we'll look at Galatians, that not growing weary, for in due time you'll reap a harvest of righteousness. It's not about you getting things, cars, houses, money. I mean, that stuff comes. That harvest of righteousness is souls. And in order to win souls, I've got to be ready to win souls. If I have a bad day at home, my witness is going to be a little off. So a soul is going to miss out. If I have a bad day at work, with a coworker or with whatever I'm doing, someone around me is going to miss out. God's not saying this harvest of righteousness is going to be a bigger paycheck or larger bank account. It's going to be, I wish no one should perish. And that I'm calling you to be where you're at for this reason. You got to have your mind set right. You got to have this right here. I can't be witnesses if I'm hung up on some crappy job that I'm working at, that I'm just trying to get a paycheck so I can go home. What kind of witness am I going to be when I stop to cash that paycheck? What kind of witness am I going to be the 4 days in between that paycheck? Hey, we got to know this. God says that you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the ends of the earth. We've got to know that. We've got to walk into the ministry that we're called to do. And I believe work is one of the biggest overrated fields of ministry. Colossians 3, 23, 24 says to do what? Surely everybody knows this. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. What a mindset to have. What a mindset to have when you go to your job, when you go to your field of ministry, to know this. I don't work for Jason Ramsey. And he knows it. I mean, I stand up here and honestly speak this. I respect Jason. He is definitely my guide and my shepherd at work. But I work for the Lord. Therefore, Jason Ramsey is going to, most of the time, not always, most of the time, respect and appreciate what I do for J&J Construction. Because of that mentality right there. If I'm going to do it for Jason all the time, I'm not always going to want to do it for Jason all the time. I'm not always going to want to do it on a Monday when I get up. But you know what? God calls me to minister a lifestyle. He doesn't call me to just minister in the mornings after I've read for so long or prayed for so long. He's asking me to do it, Cash, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. When we're just beside ourselves because there's no way we could do what we're, but we always do. You know what I'm saying? We always get it done because it's to his glory that we do this. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Am I blessed to be around the company I work? Absolutely. But you know what? It's just as easy to have the worldly mindset with Christian people as it is in the world. Okay? Because we're going to close tonight the way we minister, or today to how we witness to our church family. And that's a big part of who your witness is, who my witness is in that situation. So are we self-motivated at work? Are we honest? Is our attitude right? Proverbs 6:6-8 tells us, consider the ant, one of my favorite verses. Although she has no commander, nobody sitting there telling her what to do, but yet she does what? She does what she's supposed to do, what she's designed to do. Hey, my witness at work isn't the one that only works when Jason's rattling diesel pulls up now. Used to, he was quieter with his smaller truck. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, he don't really sneak around so much anymore with his diesel. But, hey, look, am I a different driven person when the boss is on the job? Or am I the same driven person because the boss is on the job? You know what I'm saying? The glory, hey, I have been more blessed by things that he has not ever seen me. And he moved up front, so I'm going to use him a lot today. So I've been more blessed by the things I've done at work than anything I've ever been caught doing or seen doing. JR, he started working with me. He come out of ministry and everything, and we put a shower together one day, and we had no idea if they were ever going to put glass doors up or a shower curtain in the future. We just knew they didn't have the money for glass doors now. This might be Greek to some of you, but in order to do that, you had to have supports behind the walls to hold the weight of these glass doors. And we were done. I'd already sheetrocked it, and I put a coat of mud on it. And I come to find out they didn't, at the moment, have the money, but one day they wanted to. I told JR, I said, it's never too late to do the right thing. I took my knife, and I cut that drywall down, and I put them studs in there to turn them sideways. And nobody ever knew about that until this moment, did they, JR? We didn't tell Jason. We didn't tell the homeowners. But hey, you know what? It might have been 10 years if they had ever put them doors up. We could be long gone before then. I don't know, rapture could upon us. And I never would have been accountable for that. But you know, I'm accountable to him. See, when I come home, when I come back to that number one family that I minister, I got to make sure that number two family doesn't come home with me. I got to make sure when I walk into my home that my work family has been satisfied and they've been taken care of. And I don't have to come in all bound up about things I know I did that was not right, things I should have done, attitudes I had. Whatever it may be. Because see, 1, 2, and 3 that we're talking about today all come together as one. I know this. We keep up with our own time. I use this every time I talk about work. Crazy, man. Who would give me a time card, a blank time card, and say, write your hours down and turn them into me every Wednesday morning? Hey, it wasn't but about 6 or 7 years ago, I'd have about 150 hours every week. You know what I'm saying? And be showing up like 2 days a week. And I'm like, oh yeah, they were long days. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I tell you what, God blesses our home. We are faithful givers, consistently faithful givers. All right. Let's put that in order. But you know what? That time I write down on that time card, I have put time down and then get ready to turn it in and be like, was it really 36? And I've scribbled and I've changed things on my time card to allow it to be right and everything. There is no better conviction to come upon you than one that's done in private by the Holy Spirit, knowing this: I can only bless what's not ill-gotten gains. See, God is not going to bless ill-gotten gains. He says in his word, hey, I could turn in 50, 60 hours a week, and that money will not be 20-hour week money with God's blessing on top of it. See, we have an obligation to our work family and to our employer that we're honest with the time that we turn in. I know not all of us have that time card to turn in, but we all turn that time in from the time we punch a time card to the time we punch out. What do we do with that time? What kind of witness are we? Hey, it's easy, I know, to get. Hey, an hour seems like a lot when you're tight on money. Hey, God ain't blessed us enough. We don't know about struggling, okay? And we don't know about being tight on funds and skipping allowances every once in a while. But I tell you this, that hour is your witness. That you turn in is how those people are going to see you. See, I'm not called to judge them, nor do I want to give them reasons to be judged. If I go to my work family, if I go to work and say I'm a Christian and proclaim to be a Christian, they should see a difference. I shouldn't be sitting around talking. Because see, during the time of this message, there was a different group of men that I worked with. And I had some backbiting. And I had some attitude problem come upon me. And it liked to paralyze us. See, that family followed me home to my family because I was doing things I knew wasn't right. And that's when God moved me into family number two. All right, now that you're working on your home family, let's work on your work family. How are you talking at work? What's your attitude like at work? How do people feel when you're around? Hey, how do people feel when you're not around? Are you bashing coworkers and putting coworkers down to the point where you're paralyzing them so when they're not around, they feel like you're doing the same thing? Because that's not the way we treat family. That's not the way I want to treat my family. I want my family to know this. I love them. I love them when they're around me, when I work with them, when I'm not working with them. I love them when I'm fixing something on their job. I love them when they're fixing something on my job. I speak conversation seasons with grace. I don't say I always do, but that's what God is asking me to do. He's saying, son, if you want to go Friday night and minister, if you want to go Sunday and minister, if you want to go Thursday and minister, start doing it now. Then you're not just trying to get to, it ain't like Monday morning going to work where you're trying to, oh gosh, I'm flipping coins, see who can quit their job and who, how many hours of overtime it'd take to support the family. God's not asking me to do that. He's asking me to be consistent about this. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially the family of believers. So how are we witnessing at work? With our time? Are we honest? Are we self-motivated? And our attitude? How about with our church family? So one of my favorite parts. As I started making notes on this and thinking about this, I'm like, how? I mean, they're my church people. I'm around them all. And God says, are you being a good witness? Are you benefiting your church family? As I got to watch it in my life, I got seeing that it isn't always true. See, it's easy for me to become impatient with church members, with brothers that I'm in church with. It's easy for me to not be gentle with them. Sometimes I feel like I used to feel. I don't anymore. This is probably where I made leaps and bounds because it's the easiest for me because I spend less time with y'all than I do at work. And at home, I've become very patient with people. I used to right out of ministry, and I had all this zeal, and you know, scripture. This is me. Scripture talks about zeal without knowledge is not very effective. Well, I was not very effective. Okay, I didn't have a lot of knowledge, but I had the zeal. I couldn't understand why men coming out of the same place I would be falling, and why would they be making decisions they're making. And I become hardened to my church family, to the people around me, when people start making mistakes. And God says, that's not the way I want you to minister to them. See, Terry, when you sit on the Thursday night and you lead a Bible study, Just because they're there doesn't mean they're going to receive you. How did you treat that guy Tuesday? How did you treat that guy Thursday? See, what you're doing, son, is you're putting these walls up between people so I can't get to them when I have you in your call and I have you doing. Now, I don't flatter everybody and I don't baby everybody, okay? There's not a fine line. There's a big difference between flattery and speaking the truth to somebody. But there's a way that I do it. Just because Jason's been in church X amount of years and he's been ministering this and that, I don't have to be a J-hole to him and come down on him so much. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what I was starting to do. I'd start to the point where I was putting walls up that nobody would hear and receive what I say. And I'm doing all this reading and I'm doing all this studying. And God is like, because you're not being a very good witness to your church family. See, you're getting up before them and you're saying things in large group, but you've done things on small, intimate levels that is blocking my Holy Spirit from speaking to them because they're seeing the offense they have with you. Hey, that's a burden. Hey, if there's offense between you and a brother or sister right now, it needs to stop. You need to come together. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. I love that word, gently. See, I had to learn how to come to someone and go ahead and speak the word of God and speak the truth, but not in a way that is going to push them away from me. Are we honoring each other? Romans 12:10. I have that one marked. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. And Romans 12:4-5 says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You know, when you look at that, when you look at our church family in that perspective, why would I want to hurt myself? Or did we not see that? We say and we teach and we hear and our pastors speak it and teach it that we are all members of one body. But if you truly believe that, if I truly believe that, how could I come down on you that way? How could I say that thing to you? I'm not saying things don't need to be said, by no means. God never gives you an escape route to hear from hearing the truth. His will is that you hear the truth. You be corrected, edified, or rebuked by it, however it may be, but that you hear it. But there is a way we are to treat each other. See, there is a genuine attack going on in our church amongst our members. And we need to learn a few things. I had to learn a few things, and I'm still learning a few things. We got to stand with them. Hey, I got to stand in the gap in prayer, first and foremost, for my brothers and sisters. That is my responsibility. That is my number one responsibility, is I stand in the gap for people who are not praying for themselves or who need prayer for themselves. I stand in it for them. I stand with them. Hey, just because my brothers and sisters are wrong, I'm not going to turn my back on them. That's how churches break up. All right, you turn your back on somebody because they're not being what they're supposed to be and they're not doing. What about you? See, we got to stand together. Believers Community Church is making a difference in this community. As pastor's going to bring more presentation in a couple of weeks, we are going to make a difference on out to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? We're going to not stop right here in Pfeiffer or the outskirts of Batesville. We're going to go all the way out, and we've got to stand together in prayer, and we've got to stand together with each other gently while we get through these things that we're going on, and we've got to stand for them. Hey, just because one of my brothers is struggling, I'm not going to sit around talking about them, talking bad about them. It's my family. I don't like it when someone talks about my family. I'm not talking about my wife and kid. I'm talking about my church family because we're to honor each other. And you know what? Sometimes I'm going to kneel for them because sometimes standing is not enough. Sometimes we need to kneel in prayer before a holy God and lift up our brothers and sisters and what's going on in this church. I know this, as we progress further into ministry and further outreach, the attacks are going to come more and more often. Hey, it's easy to see the flaws of a brother. I see them. I see them in myself. Why wouldn't I see them in you? But you know what I don't want to do? Consciously act against that I see. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, let them restore them gently. I love that. We're called to minister. There's no doubt about that. This room is full of ministers. This isn't just the minister that stands up here and preaches. It's those who spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're called to do that, every one of you. But I'm going to have to ask you today to look at your life and prioritize your life. God is asking you today to prioritize your life. If you want to be effective in the world, be effective in your home. If you want to be effective in the world, be effective at work. And be effective in your church. Can we do that? I'm going to have the prayer team come up this morning. I know this is an odd time. Like if you hear a message that shows that you might not be doing something right and this and that, I don't want that to be the case today. I ended it with the most powerful thing that I hope you hear today. If there's someone you need to stand in prayer for, come today. If there's someone that you need to help lift out of a sin that they're caught in, come today. If there's a change you need to make, come today. Whatever you need, come today.